Wow.
That'll wake you up, won't it? Before we officially begin our CIB meeting, we will have a staff briefing by our fund manager, Candace Powers. Candace Powers?
Good morning. I'd like to thank the board for their efforts to get here and for their astute and wise distribution of the mineral lease funds. This is February 2nd. This is the funding meeting for most projects. It's the second trimester of the fiscal year 2017. The next CIB meeting is tentatively scheduled for Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, here in this building, but we will decide which meetings that we will actually meet, because there were 13 new applications for this third trimester. On page 1-1-1 in your board packet, you'll see the priority lists on the priority schedule. Those are the applications that you have already reviewed. There's also two new projects for discussion listed there, and two supplemental requests, and one special consideration, and an action item down in board member discussions. The fund summary on page 1-1-2, the pending projects are just that, they're pending. So that those expenses, those requests for funding, are also included in that bottom line. It shows a negative balance, but the pending projects probably aren't going to be funded this trimester, so the projects that you have already reviewed and will review should have adequate funding in the appropriate scenarios for those projects. The Impact Board, as you know, needs to keep this fund revolving, so those decisions should keep that in mind, and the board's current average loan rate is 2.5%. In your red folder, there's a pink sheet that supplements the Hurricane Valley. It's the Hurricane Valley budget that's asking for supplemental. It would be 5-2-6 if you put it in your folder. On white, there's a color map. In your folder, the map was black and white, and it kind of didn't show clearly what might be pertinent information as you consider the Cedar View Motwell. On blue, this is supplemental to the Wellington project. This is the bid for the supplemental request from Wellington, and there is a stapled group of documents from RPP. These are their reports that come in every trimester. On the schedule today, we have the priority projects include Moab City. You've already discussed that one. Castle Valley Special Service District. The board authorized a $1,519,000 10-year, 1.5% loan. Castle Valley would like time on the agenda today to discuss their original request. They do a geo bond that covers multiple years of projects through Emory County. They have done their financial diligence on how that geo bond is assessed and disseminated, and they would like to discuss the board's approval of their original request. That's number two. Number three is San Juan Spanish Valley. Mayfield is number four. Town of Bryan Head. Hurricane City is number six. Town of Redmond, number seven. Centerfield City, number eight. Town of Tropic, number nine. Town of Laketown, number 10. When it comes time for votes on those, Chairman Heaton will give you the amounts that you have approved, and you will vote on those. The new projects to discuss, which have not been discussed, which per the applicant's request have been held until this meeting, is Cedar View Motwell, This is for rights of way and tribal easements for water system, for a water system that will be sometime in the future. They're asking for $165,000 grant. On the application, it indicates that the Division of Drinking Water will provide $82,005 grant and $82,005 loan. Also in this application, I don't know if that's firm. On the RPG has some information on 4-1-3 that discusses this project at length. This is for easements on Bureau of Indian Affairs tribal lands. Usually something that comes in like this is part of a project. Pre-construction costs on this are $35,000 and land easements are the $295,000 on this one. A question that the board might want to ask is, are those easements going to be permanent? Number two is Johnson Water Improvement District. They are bringing in $281,490 in cash. They're requesting from CIB $281,490 grant. This is a project that will be part of a UDOT project. So while the UDOT has some of these roads in a open state, they will do some water system improvements. Two of the things, I had two questions. One, it includes surface restoration in the cost that would be part of this project. Will that not be accommodated by UDOT and drive approach repair? If they could just address those two things that are included on the bid for this funding. We have supplemental requests. There are two of them, Wellington City. Back in 2015, the board authorized $151,000 for refurbishing a water tank. That water tank has been offline since then. They had a contractor come in and do some water line or some painting and refurbishing of the inside, but that didn't go well. They had problems with it. The contractor did not come back on the job. There was a settlement for $37,000, which they received. There is still $73,000 left in the original fund that you awarded in 2015, and they're asking for a supplemental of $88,000. So with the $37,000 settlement, the $73,000 remaining, and the $88,000, it will cover roof restructure, the SCADA, and actually accommodate what they were originally scheduled to do. Washington County Municipal Building Authority, they came in 2016, February, and received funding for a new fire station at Coral Canyon. The bids came in, and they were high in order to accommodate the necessary items for this fire station. So they're requesting additional funding, but it's all loan. This is a $638,000 30-year at 2.5% additional or supplemental to this project. The special consideration is Housing and Community Development is coming in for continued funding with the Rural Planning Group. This will be for a 3-year tranche. They will discuss that. This will also be a suspended fund at this meeting. On 6-1-9, you'll see the budget that they have accommodated to explain this request and how it will be implemented. And finally, a board member discussion and an action item. Number one, Flaming Gorge Road and Transportation came in to the board. It was funded in June 2016. That funding, they expressed at that time that they could have this paid off in 1 or 2 years, but they were asking for a 15-year term. The board authorized it for 5 years, saying, well, you'll have it paid off anyway. But what that did was it created a loan repayment that could not be accommodated by the required bonding of 125% of annual revenue. So they're requesting that you reconsider that, put it at 15 years so they can actually accommodate those funds, but it's still the same situation where it will be paid off in a short time.
And if I could just, when the group comes up, I've been told they may want to even go to 20.
Well, if they pledge BNC or mineral lease funds, which I think they were doing, then it can only go 15. But if they have a different revenue source, they can go longer.
Yes, they'll speak.
And then we'll discuss on board member discussion the policy retreat coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate the time and effort that you and your team put into preparing for these meetings. Well, good morning. If it feels like you've been here before, it's not because it's Groundhog Day. We'll start off with introductions of the board members. Gail, we'll start over at your end of the table and work our way around.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
I'm Susan Eisenman, not Wade Faraway, as the placard would suggest, from the Attorney General's Office, and I need to apologize to the board. Busy time of year. I have a conflict at 10 o'clock today, so I'll be sneaking out at about 10 till.
Save our mischief till 10.
Commit no mischief after 9:50.
Jonathan Hardy, Housing and Community Development.
Jim Mattson, King County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
Good morning, Mike McKee, UNA County Commission.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner.
David Damshin, State Treasurer.
Good morning, Keith Eaton with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, Permanent Community Impact Fund Board.
Commissioner Tudor Ogden, representing the AOG, Six County Association of Governments.
Good morning. Nagi Zanati from Sunny St. George, representing UDOT Commission. And we're just looking at you, except for Mr. Gordon Walker. Rest of you look like on made bed on Sunday morning. This is a happy day. It's a payday. Put some smiles on your faces. Let us know that we're doing our jobs, please.
Hi, I'm Bruce Adams. I'm San Juan County Commissioner, live in Monticello, Utah, closest city to the new Berger's Monument, unfortunately.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commission, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Thank you very much. We appreciate all of you making the effort to be here. I don't think we're... Yes, Mr. Greg Galecki has asked to be excused. He had professional matters to take care of out of state, so we excuse him and we'll miss his service today. As was mentioned, recognize Mr. Gordon Walker, former chairman of the Community Impact Board, back in country from a few months, I'm sure it felt like, in Germany. So. Always nice to see his smiling face.
Yes.
It's funny, the one guy who's not asking for any money is the one smiling, isn't it?
That's what I noticed.
Maybe they'll all be smiling by the end of the meeting.
We hope so.
How do we know he's not asking for money?
good point. No one ever knows for sure.
Give it time.
Candace would like me to remind everyone to make sure before you leave, if you didn't do it when you came in, to sign in. Apparently, Candace has rules that if your name isn't on the attendance roster, you don't get any of the money. So,
right.
Important detail to look to. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the December 8th, 2016 meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti. Okay.
Second.
I have several seconds, but I think Commissioner Winterton got his voice in there first. So, all in favor, aye.
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 Any concerns, corrections? Motion carries. As was mentioned, today is a funding meeting. This one seems to be a little bit different in that we do have some new projects to consider as well. So first, we'll start with the projects that were previously moved to the priority list for funding. The first project, number one, is Moab City for a new road and utility corridor development. It's a $1,453,241 total request with $727,000 loan at 20 years, 2.5%, and a $726,241,000 grant. The chair will entertain a motion to approve that project.
So moved.
We have a motion by Chairman Damsh, or Treasurer Damshin.
Okay. Whatever.
Second. A second by Mr. Zanotti. Any discussion or questions? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. As was mentioned in the briefing, Castle Valley Special Service District requested some changes to what was moved to the priority list, so we'll invite them to come forward at this time and present their change. Mr. Jacob Sharp.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jacob Sharp, Castle Valley Special Service District. When we attended the board meeting in November in Moab, we had our request. It was moved that we receive our request in all loan. At that time, the board also suggested that we come back in February and I guess re-ask or figure out what would work for us. And I think were the words. We still stand, with my original request. I wrote a letter to Candace last month. Hopefully everybody has a copy of that in their packet. We do these projects each year through the vehicle of a general obligation bond. Our last general obligation bond was in 2009. It goes through 2019. It's a 10-year period. We've got about $2.7 million left on that general obligation bond, and we've tried to plan it out to, I guess, maximize that bond. And with that, I'd like the board to reconsider our request of a $900,000 loan with a $619,000, I guess, grant.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. So the request is to return to the original application, which is a $1,519,000 total request with $900,000, 6 years, 2.5% loan, and a $619,000 grant. Any questions from the board or a motion to approve the request?
I'll make a motion to approve the request.
We have a motion from Commissioner Adams. Is there a second?
That.
We have a second from Commissioner Ogden. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Sharp.
Thank you.
I suspect we'll see you next year now that there's money in the bond.
Yes.
Thank you.
Project number 3, San Juan Spanish Valley Water and Sewer Special Service District. I hope I didn't leave any words out of the title. Sewer system improvements, a $2.5 million total request with $750,000, 30 years at 0%, and a $1,750,000 grant. Motion to approve?
So moved.
I believe I had Commissioner McKee on the motion, and a second to Commissioner Winterton. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carries. I think I'll do the next four as a group since they're fairly simple and straightforward. Number 4, Town of Mayfield, General Plan Update, $15,000 grant. Number 5, Town of Bryanhead, Storm Drainage Master Plan, $27,500 grant. Number 6, Hurricane City, Transportation Master Plan, $50,000 grant. Town of Redmond, Street Improvements, $117,500 grant. Motion to approve those four projects.
So moved.
I'll have Councilman Farrell with the motion and the second to Commissioner Mattson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Those carry as well. Number 8, Centerfield City Street Improvements is a $1,310,000 total request. $655,000, 10 years at 2.5%, and a $655,000 grant. A motion to approve. Commissioner Ogden, a second. Commissioner or Mr. Zanotti. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Number 9, Town of Tropic Street Improvements, $450,000 total request with $270,000 at 10 years, 2.5% loan, and $180,000 grant. Motion to approve?
I so move.
Just a question on that. Okay, let's go to the motion first. Commissioner Mattson, is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Mr. Farrell, Commissioner McKee?
Was that updated? I'm just looking. It says 20 years. You said you said 10 years.
Oh, is it 20?
That's what it says here. It's
supposed to be 10 years.
There's a misprint on my cheat sheet. So much for cheating.
It's supposed to be 10.
It's supposed to be 10.
Okay, just it for clarity, 10. Whatever it's supposed to be.
That's what my motion was for.
Yeah, it has 10, to be 10.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Prater.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for attention.
So, the motion is for 10 years. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carries. Number 10, Town of Lake Town, Master Plan, $15,000 grant. Motion to approve?
So made.
Councilman Farrell, motion. Second by Commissioner Ogden. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? At this point, we'll move to new projects and invite Cedarview Montwell Special Service District up to inform us more about their project. Please introduce yourselves and tell us more about the project.
Okay, I'm Bobby Drake. I'm the chair for the Cedarview Montvale Special Service District.
Jeff McCarty, Sunrise Engineering.
Mundy Taylor, Cedarview Montvale Special Service District 4.
So our project, we're looking to obtain some tribal easements for furthering our a lot more than that. We need the easements and the studies that need to be done for those easements because it's tribal, and so they require the yellow book appraisals. And anyway, so as we're looking at, we were supposed to do a project that was. Sorry, I'm just let me get my thoughts together here. So we're asked to do a area-wide plan, and that's what we've done. Instead of coming and piecemealing, to do an area-wide plan. And so that's what this is leading into is for that plan. We need to have the easements for all these different phases of our project. So. The reason we're coming here is we want to ask for half of that. It's a $330,000 project. We're basing that on Neola Town. Just did a similar thing with the tribe. Right now we have the tribe that is willing to work with us. We know that it's a 3 to 4 year. Based on what they've done, a 3 to 4 year project to get these easements. They will, in the past, it's been hard to, or difficult at best to work with the tribe, and right now they are very favorable to looking into this. Another thing is there's really no way we can further our project without these easements. Well, there's probably a way, but it'd be very expensive, much more than the money that we're needing here to get the easements. Do you have any questions for me?
Keith. It looks like we have a lot of questions.
You're right.
We'll start with Commissioner Adams.
So on the map that you've given us, The red line is the boundary map for the tribal land. Is that correct?
Is that this map by chance?
Yes.
That's correct.
I guess I just want to speak to the board a little about working with tribes. San Juan County deals with tribal lands on a regular and continuous basis. It's the most, at least the most difficult process that any county can deal with, in my opinion, even more difficult than dealing with the federal government. If these folks have favorably received an invitation to purchase these easements, I can guarantee you it's not going to get any easier in the future. We need to help this situation out because it can become so encumbering to deal with the tribes that you can't function as a county government. So I would really speak in support of the project and helping them with the funding if they're going to be able to purchase permanent easements across tribal land.
I would second Bruce's motion.
That was quick.
I have a question.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's go with Mr. Zanotti to question that.
Mr. Drake, what is the status of your the loan and the grant from the Department of Water Quality? Have you obtained that already in place?
Yeah. Well, we were in. Yes, we're currently asking for. I noticed in some of the studies here that our financial situation is a little difficult because we're driven by the oil field. We didn't get as many connections as we had anticipated, because right as we came on, the oil field was kind of going down. Left a lot of people in difficult situation. And so as we went to the Division of Drinking Water, we're asking them to lower the interest rate on our loan so that we can, basically maintain. And as we're looking into our financial future, it looks like we're going to have some difficulty if we don't do something. And so this is part of what we're doing, is trying to, we've gone to them, and they're looking favorably at reducing our interest rate. But we'll meet with them on their next meeting, which will be in St. George.
They asked that we come to this meeting first before they get firm. Yes.
So shall we have the motion subject to approval of these two, loan and the grant, before we say yes to it?
Just make it conditional. Is that okay, Bruce? It's a conditional?
Yes.
Yeah, that's I'm okay with it.
So if I understand, you're saying that you would grant us the half if they were to look favorably on it.
That is the motion in front of the board currently. So what's the timing on getting that approval? Is that next month, this month?
Yes. Yeah, next month.
Their next meeting at the end of the month, beginning of next month.
In St. George now.
Other questions or concerns from the board? Commissioner Mattson, and then we'll go to...
Well, just a general interest. What's the role of the Bureau of Indian Affairs in these negotiations, as you all have experienced this? Fortunately, we have neighbors who have tribal lands. we never have to deal with BIA on these kinds of issues. It's directly with the tribal government. I don't know what it's like with these folks, but that's our experience.
I can answer that, is that they deal with the tribe on the trust ground, but to make the easements perfected, it has to go through the BIA.
That's right.
So once that happens, then it is concrete and they don't go away.
You're going to want both, and there is a new rule. I was just going to mention, there is a new rule that was approved that I think it came effective January 17th. It also strengthens that BIA component, so it will be very valuable to make sure you're up to speed on that, the new BIA rule.
Commissioner Potter?
That was all. I was going to ask on the easement just to make sure that it was, you know, permanent and that it was worked through both those resources, because you don't want to spend this money and then have them come back and remove that.
Exactly. So part of that would be having the easements in perpetuity so that, you know, we don't have to go back and do this process again.
So, Mr. Drake, what is the term of those easements? How long will they be in effect for?
Yeah, that's, as I was saying, perpetuity, right, is that what we're trying for?
We're trying for forever. They're often hesitant to say forever definite. So usually they say 40 years, and it can be extended indefinitely, basically.
So a minimum of 40?
Minimum zero. Of 40 years, 40 okay. years, yeah. Okay.
There is in law there that if it's a public utility, that 50 years with a conditional automatic renewal, but there is language there of 20 to 50 years.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And what is the district's intent as far as moving forward once you do have the easements, since easements in and of themselves really don't provide much value?
Right, we intend, especially on the first phase, to do that as soon as possible, as it's the most, I guess, lucrative, if you want to call it that. But, I mean, it's the one that makes the most sense. And we want to move forward with that as quickly as possible.
And the funding that for that would come from?
Well, we're that's our next step, I guess. We're hoping you'll just give us all the money, so we're hoping.
It's good to have dreams.
So that would be, you know, we'd do similar to what we did on the last process. We'd just go through and make sure it worked and present it to you and also Division of Drinking Water.
What our plan is to start at the top and gravity feed back, and in doing that, it would help Neola Water District, Roosevelt City, and possibly Ballard to get water from the very top of the boundary, and it would come all the way down. So we're hoping to kind of run these like Duchesne County Water Conservancy District did with their phases and go from one phase to the next. Each would support itself independently and would take care of itself independently to pay back the loans. So we will be back, but it will be a few years.
I'm glad you're thinking loan, since the fund does have a lot of money available for loaning and essentially very little for granting.
Right. And that is sort of the next phase is the most, like I said, it would help us the most because it has the most potential connections for the amount of pipe we'd be laying in the ground.
One other question I have is I noticed on the map the Victory Pipeline is identified here. Does this tie into that at all, or is that separate?
It does tie into the very bottom of our district, and our plan is to try. We've made exchange agreements through Roosevelt City. The Victory went into Roosevelt. Through the exchange agreement, we've been able to secure the water on the north end. Eventually, we've been talking with Duchesne County Water Conservancy to see if they would also help us reach the very top of our district. If not, we've talked about backup systems for a pump, which would give us not only the ability to use the wells, but the ability to give a backup system to Roosevelt City and Ballard and those. So.
Ambitious. So we have a motion and a second. If there are no further questions, all in favor of the motion to approve as presented?
Aye.
Yes, it is conditional on DEQ funding. Any opposed or abstaining? The motion carries. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I suspect we'll see you again. I'd like to invite the Johnson Water Improvement District forward at this time.
Cooperation we've had with you in the past. Dallas Murray, I'm the chair of Johnson Water, and
I'm Dixon Taylor. I'm the manager.
As our application indicated, that this is kind of a joint activities this summer with UDOT and the water system which we represent. They're widening the highway for about, I think it's about 5 miles or so, and we have lines that run parallel to a lot of that, and we have several places where our lines cross the highway. This has been in the planning for UDOT for a couple of years or more, and we finally they have let the bid now, and they have the final plans, and we know just what's going to affect us. UDOT has agreed to move all of our water lines that are there now. Some of the water lines, we have one large line of 14-inch. 14-inch is almost obsolete now. It's hard to get. It's expensive. And since Victory Pipeline came in, was completed, we can now flow from both ways, so we can get by with a smaller line than the 14. So we have approved, we have told them they could go ahead and reduce that to a 12. We have some other lines that are 6-inch, and they've agreed to upgrade those to a 12-inch or to an 8-inch, so we have fire flow. I think there are 7 places that our pipelines cross the highway. They have agreed to put the casing in those areas. We have one vault that's going to have to be moved with a pressure reducing valve, and they've agreed to move it. There's going to be a need for a couple of other vaults which aren't there now, and we will be responsible for those. At the same time they're doing this project, we have a section, as it shows on your map, where it's being developed, and we've held off. It's being fed by a smaller line, and we've held off getting fire flow to that area, waiting to see the alignment of the highway. Now, you will, on most of the construction, UDOT will take the responsibility to bring back to standards the fences, the fields, and all of that. However, in order to get the fire flow to this new property, we bring a line from a 12-inch that we have that is not adjoining, is not right in the state right away, and that's the reason, Candace, that we have in there some fencing and stuff that'll take place. And then we have to, we're not sure what they're going to do on one intersection, whether we're going to have to bore and put casing in on the highway, or if they're going to be right at the Ioka Highway intersection, or whether we can dig that. So there's one of the few uncertainties. But in the main part, I think we have things pretty much in line. So are there any questions? Did I miss anything?
Mr. Murray, I noticed that you have a cash match, 50% of the cash available. As has been mentioned, the fund finds itself in a situation where we have ample money to loan but very little to grant. I was wondering if you would be amenable to consider taking this as a loan and then using your cash match, keeping your cash match. We would give you more money, but it would be in the form of a loan, and you could use that cash back. Would that something you can consider, or?
We would consider it. We would rather not, and one reason why we're trying to get our loans paid off, and we've kind of committed not to make any more loans, but we would save some money until we could get matching funds for it. The money goes a lot further because you don't have to go through the closing process and attorneys and those type things in meeting the requirements. So we just feel that to get the biggest buck, save the dollars, get some, and then if we could get a grant, that would make the dollars go a lot further.
Commissioner McKee, let's go to you for questions.
Yeah, just one thought on this is more just commentary, but where Johnson Water is putting up half of the project money in cash, if you look at the Magi, the project actually shows that if we followed Magi, it could be 100% grant. And the fact that they're willing to put half of that in cash, and I think they're trying to be responsible. And I guess I just, the other thing is the economy out there is really very difficult. And so I just like to be supportive of the request that they have offered.
Mike, is there a way to let them keep their cash money and take a loan so that we can tap in on the loan portion of it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Question to them, I guess. In other words, keep your cash and take it in the
sure. If we made a 500, or we could go.
We still give them the grant.
We could do a $391,490,000 grant and a $281,490,000 loan at 0%. And that way they would be getting $562,000, almost $563,000 from the CIB, and they could use
no cash, right?
Yeah,
that's what I was.
More help.
That makes sense. Do you understand what we're saying?
Repeat that.
Well, you would not put up any cash.
Okay.
But you would take, and basically you'd take half grant and half loan, $281,000 grant. $281,000 loan, and you'd have the money to. Then we could. Does that not work?
We could make it work, but I'm just a dumb old sheep herder that's not going to be around long. I don't want to leave a lot of debt as I'm. We have a lot of
loan money.
Yes,
is all I'm thinking.
I understand that. So could we do it that way, and then pay off the loan before we ever go through the closing process?
I don't know.
No, I don't know that there's.
It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, I don't know that. You know, that probably isn't going to change anything. It probably fits for them better just with the request they have.
We could take the loan and pay it off tomorrow. Because we have saved the money. And it's in the state pool, and it doesn't draw much interest there.
1.15%. That's a very high rate in this environment.
I'm
going to make the motion, if I might. And Bruce, I appreciate what you're trying to do. This. You're trying to be as helpful as you can. But I would make the motion to approve the request as it's been submitted.
We have a motion from Commissioner McKee to approve as presented. We have a second by Commissioner Adams, and we have a question by Treasurer Dampson.
I'd like to respond to Commissioner McKee's comments. There's no question about the propriety and the appropriateness of your request. The question is the propriety and the appropriateness of how we manage our own checkbook.
That's right.
We're handing out grants like there's no tomorrow. Oil has plummeted from 120 a barrel to 55 thereabouts. And so the issue isn't applicants, but the conduct of this board and what resources we have. And that's my concern, Mr. Chair.
Noted. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Candace had a question. There's, $10,000 on your budget for legal? As there is no bonding, why would there be a need for any type of legal funding on this?
There might not be. You know, if there isn't any bonding, there probably will not be.
So Candace would like to reduce it by $10,000 is what you're suggesting?
Well, just keep in mind that we won't reimburse for anything and that anything is left over will be recaptured.
Okay.
So, motion is carried.
So, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
We have one opposition and no abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wellington?
Good morning. I'm Mayor Joan Powell, and we are coming before you for this extra $88,000 for our water tank project. Actually, Candace has explained it very well. She's done just about better than I could have done, but I appreciate that. we have been without this water tank for almost 2 years. And recently we've had two fires in our area. Thank heavens they've been on the outskirts of our city limits so that we haven't had to deal with that. But we live in fear that we may have a fire and not have enough pressure to take care of it. And so we'd like to get our water tank taken care of this spring. We're working towards that. Needless to say, I forgot to introduce my people with me today. So this is Glenna Etzel, and she's our city recorder, and Jesse Rouse from Sunrise Engineering. Oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought. Oh, the reasoning that we have of trying to refurbish our water tank is we realize that our water lines and our sewer lines are in very dire straits also. And so we have felt that it's in our best interest to proceed with just refurbishing the water tank that we have and then pursue our water lines and sewer lines at a later time. So with that said, we are requesting this extra $88,000, and we feel like we've been up front with the board and throughout the whole process that we've had to go through, not knowing, of course, that we were going to have to go through that process. So is there anything that you guys would like to add to that?
Question.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for us?
Mayor, when you originally came into this board back in 2014 for this project, your administration was new, and you weren't familiar with the maintenance plans and funding that the city had in place for these types of things. I would hope at this point you have a clearer picture of that and you can explain to this board what your plans are, because this is essentially a Band-Aid. And as you mentioned, there are much more serious issues on the horizon. What's the city's plan moving forward?
Well, yes, why don't you go ahead?
We, in 2015, with the engineers at the time, put together a water and sewer master plan. So we know what areas need to be addressed. We have had many discussions over the past 2 years of rates, what we would need to raise to move forward with that. We will begin that process once we finish the water tank, at looking what rates need to be increased and how, what we will be saving to move forward with those. So we have had discussions for the past 2 years.
You talk in our Magi. Our Magi funding, we're with our water lines, we're right in the ballpark with our Magi on our water lines. Our sewer lines need a little more adjusting, but we'll discuss that when we get to that point.
Are you working with DEQ on possible funding for those as well? Very well. Treasurer Damson, you had a question?
That was my question. So just to be clear, you do have, I heard that you're discussing establishing a maintenance fund. Did you establish a maintenance set aside? Is it funded?
We have one for sewer. We will need to be establishing one for water.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Potter and Mr. Zanotti.
Just a comment. As I have worked with Wellington in looking at this process, it is unfortunate that the original repair and engineering did not move forward and pan out as far as their project goes. They do need this help. They have sweated and worked on this for over a year, trying to figure out how to get things settled, how to preserve the funds that they were already given from this board. And I just am very supportive of that because of the need, particularly with the fire prevention situation that they need to fall into. So,
Mr. Zanotti? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so I would make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Potter, a second by Treasurer Damson, and there's another second, but we won't go there, Commissioner Adams.
With Ms. Matson. He has a question, too.
Question? Further questions? Mr. Matson?
I just wanted to know, Ms. Powell, can you take that $88,000 in loan at 0%?
No.
Okay.
Never mind.
The scratch. Thank
just,
you.
Just to inform the board, generally anything less than $100,000,
I forgot.
The cost of bonding exceeds the value. Certainly appreciate the sentiment.
My apology.
No apologies necessary. It's a valid point. So, any further questions or discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Best wishes. Washington County Municipal Building Authority.
Yes, my name is Tom Coleman. I'm the fire chief and CAO of the Hurricane Valley Fire District. Commissioner Dean Cox had hoped to be here, but he was taken elsewhere for a pressing matter on public lands. And I also hope to have Chief Evans from Washington City here. He was scheduled to fly to St. George at 6:30 this morning. Apparently everybody else wanted to leave, and he was bumped off the flight. So you get to listen to me. We appreciate the board and entertaining our request. We came before you a number of years ago to look at building a new fire station. Thought we had done our due diligence. Our architects had taken a building which was the most recently built fire station in Washington County, increased the cost by 30%, took several thousand square feet off the building, and thought they were spot on their bids or their estimations. Unfortunately, we went to bid in October of last year. September of last year, the bids came in substantially higher. The lowest bid was 57% over what was anticipated. The highest of the eight bidders was 100% higher to build that building. And so building in Washington County has changed significantly, and costs are going up quite rapidly. We redesigned some of the station. We put 10 alternative bids and went back to rebid. That station dropped $57,000. And unfortunately, if we take all the alternative bids, such as not finishing the crew quarters, the living quarters, getting rid of the breathing apparatus, the emergency generator, and several other things, weren't able to complete the station as designed. But that did allow us to come in at our estimated $1.7 million, which is what we'd come for before. Also, the bond attorneys, Washington City was coming in with a property donation. The bond attorney asked to make that an arm's length transaction, which also increased the cost of the station by $185,000. We've tried to do our due diligence. We went back. Our fire board, working with the Washington County Commission, has gone through the wonderful process of truth and taxation. We've taken our taxes up to nearly the max that's allowed by the voters, trying to bring this project to fruition. If you looked at our supplemental cost share, where we went from contributing $10,000 towards this project toward the district, now contribute almost $158,000 based on an increase in taxation. And so we're here asking the board for a loan addition for $638,000 to complete this project as planned.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
By way of disclosure, I have communicated with the Commissioner of Washington County, all of them, and then Chief Coleman and the rest of this. Is they just asked for extra under 2.5%. It's just a loan. They're not touching the grant. So I make a motion to approve as requested, please.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Zanotti to approve as presented, a second by Councilman Farrell. Any discussion or questions on the motion? I will just say this must be some fire station.
To give you an idea, that same station that we took several thousand square feet off on St. George, built it in 2010, it was $1.6 million.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the cost increase, the costs have gone up that much.
It's unfortunate.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Does it have a pole?
It doesn't have a pole. My firefighters aren't very happy. But I got to tell you, when we got these bids back, St. George was looking at building the same station as they did back in 2010, and they're scrambling trying to figure out how to fund that increase of construction cost as well. It caught us all off guard in that area.
It doesn't have a pole, but it does have a pool.
No, only if it rains. There is a wash behind the station, so we can dam that if you like them swim. We'll
directly contrary to what the chair said. He said that must be some fire station. I have to say, that's no kind of fire station.
Hold on, Paul. I'll see what I can do.
What do I know?
I'll see what I can do.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next project is for special consideration, so we will require a vote to even hear. Because this request is coming from the division for which I work, I will recuse myself as chair and turn this item over to Treasurer Dampson.
Would it be out of order to adjourn for a two-hour break?
2 hours?
We'll order pizzas. I've never been in charge here before, so I'm kind of feeling spry. Yeah. I'd like to invite those present. Do we? I'll entertain a motion.
No made.
We have a motion from Mr. Farrell.
Second.
And a second from Mr. Zanotti. Is there any discussion to the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? For the record, to satisfy the needs of the Attorney General and the State Auditor, the motion passed unanimously. There were no votes against the motion. Let the record show the result of the vote.
Doing a good job there, Treasurer.
I'd like to invite public comment as part of this discussion. So those of you that might have comment, please bear that in mind. We don't take a lot of public comment in these meetings, but this particular topic warrants comment. I believe. I think most of us here on the board consider ourselves conservatives, so I want to put one thing out there. I think that anytime we in government are doing anything that can be considered as competition to the private sector, we should give careful consideration to its appropriate existence and application. It's fortunate that Mr. Walker is here. I'm kind of a newbie on this board, so I'm relying on what others have told me of the history. I think that the rural planning group is in part, this doesn't explain them in full, but they are in part an outgrowth of the $120 a barrel oil scenario when we were flush with money and wanting to be more efficient, more effective in assisting local governments with these types of projects. And, of course, that externality has changed. And I think we're aware that these types of services generally are performed by private sector providers in the market. So that's a question I'd like to explore as part of this. The other issue that I have, since we have elected officials on this board, I'm sure that there's a deep appreciation for separation of powers. And I have some concern about funding a state government function through a grant. Is this, or could this be considered a circumvention of the legislature's priorities and powers of appropriation and setting priorities for the agency? So that's a question or a concern. And Mr. Heaton and I spoke yesterday, and I suggested that if we are considering this grant, we have a legislature that's very focused on quantitative, measurable performance. And if we go forward with this three-year commitment, I think it's really important that the group lay down a very solid, clear, black-and-white track record of performance such that this might be normalized, if you will, in my view, so that there could be a legislative appropriation or so that the funding of the group could be normalized and part of the legislative appropriations process and not handled as a grant approved by this board. Those are just my two cents. Mr. Hardy?
So I appreciate those comments, and I'm happy to address them. I want to start with the second one first about the legislative appropriations process. The Rural Planning Group was a building block presented before the legislature. It's funded under dedicated credits approved by the legislature and does have performance measures already attached to it. So I feel certainly, just like with any government function, that we have gone through the proper procedures to make sure it's funded and acknowledged by the legislature. It is counted as dedicated credits, which means that an outside entity besides the legislature and general fund has to give money for it, and that's what this board ends up has been doing, and we are asking it to do at this time. So I did want to take a moment to also address the question of, you know, the role of government doing these types of activities versus the private sector. So and again, going back to the legislature, since it's that time of year, we get to read law all the time. So I'm going to read some of our code for housing and community development to help the board understand what we're trying to accomplish as part of our legislative mandates as a division. So, and this may not be exciting to other people, but I'm just going to read it, what the powers and duties of the Division of Housing and Community Development are. These are just a couple sections of that code. So the division shall, so this is a mandate under the legislature that we shall do these things: cooperate with and provide technical assistance to counties, cities, towns, regional planning commissions, area-wide clearinghouses, zoning commissions, parks or recreation boards, community development groups, community action agencies, and other agencies created for the purpose of aiding and encouraging an orderly, productive, and coordinated development of the state and its political subdivisions. Furthermore, it says we're to assist the governor in coordinating the activities of state agencies which have an impact on the solution of community development problems and the implementation of community plans, and to serve as a clearinghouse for information, data, and other materials which may be helpful to local governments in discharging their responsibilities, and provide information on available federal and state financial and technical assistance. The last thing I want to mention is that we are supposed to carry out continuing studies and analysis of the problems faced by communities within the state and develop such recommendations for administrative or legislative action as appear necessary. So we certainly feel like the scope and responsibilities that have been performed by the Rural Planning Group and are anticipated to be performed by them in the future meet every objective of our mandates that are given to us by the legislature under the law. So we feel that we are performing our duty as a state agency, and we at all times try to figure out where we can help incorporate the private sector as a supplement to the great work. Coordination is by definition the involvement of many entities and agencies, and we don't feel like, I would say 90 to 95% of what we do is not something that is what the private sector is performing. And in many ways, what we're doing is helping communities be able to engage the private sector in an effective way and identify what their needs are moving forward. We certainly don't have the resources, nor are we requesting from this board the resources to implement all the needs of every community. But we help to get them into a place where they know what they need to do to proceed moving forward. Also, they've performed a great service to this board in helping review projects and getting things better prepared so we can make better funding decisions, better utilization of our resources in conjunction with all the other resources that the state has at its disposal to help these communities. You'll remember back in the December board meeting, we presented the annual report of the Rural Planning Group, which does have some performance metrics in there, certainly things that we plan to continue to do. Those are also identified in there, and I certainly entertain any questions or invite, if you have questions of the staff, to come up here as well.
Mr. McKee.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Just two thoughts that I would just like to mention. I think there's also, whether it's the appropriateness of mineral lease funds, and under federal and state law, the very first item, when we talk about spending mineral lease money, the very first item in the federal and state law is planning. Planning is the very first thing that has been contemplated that we use mineral lease money for: planning, infrastructure, community services, and the provision of community services. And that federal law, moved right over into our state law. So it seems to me that both federal and state see the value of the planning side of it. I don't think there's, from my point of view, I don't see any distinction whether it's grant or loan of being able to be able to provide planning as far as the federal or state themselves has talked about that. The other thing that I would just simply mention on this, I know we've been funding the Rural Planning Group year by year, and I can see the value of doing this over a several-year period. It gives them, I think, a little more continuity and not having to, they have the continuity of being able to have a plan moving forward so that communities and everybody can have a little bit more. I'm fumbling the statements, but I'm trying to say that I think a little longer-term view on that would be valuable. So
thank you, Commissioner. Any other questions or comments from the board? Mr. Zanotti.
The chairman, as the commissioner for the UDOT, I have jurisdiction over 14 counties of South and Eastern State. And I travel most of those by just way of assignment. And I see some great needs for the communities that have no means of any support from state or federal or any other agencies. And when they ask me, who can help us? I don't know how to answer that. But if we have RPG group or any other group similar to that, that we can relay message to them, say they're our group, they come with request, not automatic, of course, with request, and of course with the knowledge of this board, come to your community, help you with your assessment of your needs, not wants. I always emphasize, not wants, but needs. And they really don't know, and they have, in one community, it was just the one individual says that I'm the only one appears at the public meetings, only one shows up and makes a decision, and I've used my own money to do the shovel the snow. And now that tractor, the John Deere tractor, is broke, so I don't know what to do. I promise you, there's needs in the communities that we have in the state of Utah. Some don't have the luxury of the manpower or the money. Some of you guys up north here, they're the richest man in the Babylon. You don't need to worry about those RPG group to come to your communities. But in my personal assessment, we need to have this kind of group. We need to have this kind of funding. I agree with Mr. McKee that we need to go ahead with the longer term rather than just 1 year at a time. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti.
In terms of the planning and figuring out ways to take care of the beneficiaries that we're responsible for, I think this is really quite an important function. But I also have a question about whether we can work in a matter of self-interest, of generating additional revenue sources at the same time with the skill sets that we're going to employ, so we can really earn our way into doing more for our communities. And for those reasons, I support this proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Matson. Any other? Yes.
I just wanted to add one additional legal comment, which is the Department of Workforce Services by statute is allowed to accept and administer grants from the federal government and any other public or private source. So they have statutory authority to accept the grant as well.
Thank you, Mrs. Eisenman. Any other questions or comments from the board?
I have one.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm thinking about what you said at the very, very open about competition with the private sector. And I don't know where the happy medium is. Obviously, many of the board members feel like the need is there. I guess I wonder a little bit about communities that have those needs coming to the board with planning grants and then hiring somebody in the private sector to do the work rather than have a government-sponsored group that is already funded to do the work. I'm not sure I have a question. It's more of a comment, I guess, is just some concern about competing with the private sector and having the playing field a little bit stacked against the private sector. I don't know.
And I'd love to respond to that particular comment because I appreciate
Thank you, Commissioner.
That. We have heard many people voice that same concern. In general, we are not writing plans for communities. I'll just say that. There probably are a few instances where we'll help participate in a few because it helps give us a sense of, you know, what the community needs are, helps us keep the pulse of what's going on out there. But in general, we are not helping communities write plans. We're trying to give assessments to communities so they know what their plan needs are and what resources they may have to put together to execute on those plans, help communities get in a space where they can make the decisions for themselves. That's the primary purpose for us to involve ourselves with local communities.
So it's not necessarily to write any plans. It's just to assess more of the needs.
Right. Yeah, so we can do an assessment with the town, see what plans they have written in the past, what they may need to update, what things that will be helpful for them in the future. And like I mentioned before, this helps them get into a space where they know how to proceed forward with the private sector in advancing further plans, further refinements to what they're trying to do on a local level.
Jonathan, does your agency, your office, have any way of evaluating the work that's being done by the rural planning group? Is there a process to look at what they're doing and whether they're actually meeting those needs? I don't know. We evaluate our county employees every year.
I'd say we don't have a dashboard built yet that identifies that, but if you look through our report, you'll find many people giving testimonials on the work that they've done. And okay. I know that many folks have talked to you as members of the board and have appreciated the work they've done. I mean, that's kind of been our outcome measure so far, other than the metrics you'll find in the report. So we certainly feel like they're a valued resource in the community, not just in the local communities, but a lot of these state agencies we're interacting with. Colleagues of mine have expressed their appreciation, talk about their great work all the time. So as far as fulfilling the mandate of what our division is supposed to do, fulfilling those missions, I feel like we're hitting the mark based on the feedback I'm receiving. But we don't have a dashboard yet, but that's something that we're looking into, making sure that that's a little more public-facing.
I would suspect that some communities have figured out how to use these rural planners better than others, and they're probably getting more benefit than the communities that haven't figured it out yet. So I guess I'd hope that there's some proactive things going on to try and convince communities that haven't figured out how to get that help like some of the other communities have, right?
Sure, and we appreciate that, and we want to engage those communities. And if you know of those communities, I know you all have an open door to contacting the Rural Planning Group and, you know, advising us of what you see the needs of the community are, and we can help out where we can.
I'll just say this. The further you get from Salt Lake, the harder it is to convince people that, I don't know, there's that corridor that runs to sunny St. George that probably has figured it out, but I'm not sure we have on the eastern side of the state as well as they have.
Well, I was going to say, these guys really don't care about Salt Lake. I mean, they don't care about the Wasatch Front. They certainly work in rural areas, and we want to make sure that we touch all the rural needs that are out there that we can accommodate under our limited resources.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Commissioner Potter?
Just by way of comment, as I've looked into this, I find it interesting that planning is so vitally important to this board and throughout the state that not only have we in the past funded the rural planning group, but we continue to fund the RPPs.
Right.
And if there wasn't a need there, we would certainly not be doing either of those. I will always side on the advantage that we should not be in competition with the private sector.
That's right.
But also from a board member, and I don't have a statistical number to put with it, but I've not seen any decrease in the requests for planning grants over the last couple of years. Matter of fact, there's probably been more of an increase. And sometimes I question those when they come from the areas that are not producing, that are even closer to the Wasatch Front, and say, should we do that? But yet we have that mandate within our bylaws or within our operating procedures that if it's a 50-50 match, they bring in their cash that we generally, there's no discussion by this board. So I don't want to be in competition with the private sector, but I do see that there are some, you know, huge needs as we go forward, regardless of the price of our commodities. Oil's down, coal's up right now. So you're never going to find that correct metric as far as commodities and how we're funded, but I think we need to be very careful not to be in a competitive nature trying to compete with the private sector. But there is a great need for the planning. And
thank you, Commissioner. Any other questions or comments from the board? Mr. Zanotti?
I wanted to go back to minutes of the November meeting we had. We emphasized as a board that anytime RPG Group would like to go someplace or planning to do some projects, they should bring before this board so we in advance know what we're doing. And again, avoid the competition. If there's already been contact with the private consulting company, I don't think you should approach them and saying that we can do better or we can do cheaper. That is not the intent of the RPG group. I hope not, because we would like to make sure that everybody gets a fair share of the business in the state, do what it's supposed to be, all with the benefit of the whole state. So we had that requested in November meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Mr. Burrow.
Chairman, I'll make the motion. We go ahead and approve the grant as presented.
I second the motion.
We have a motion from Mr. Farrell, second from Mr. Zanotti. We have taken no public comment on this issue, and I think that we should. A couple of things I want to offer up to the board for consideration. I'm very appreciative of the challenge and the nuances that I think Mr. Adams emphasized most eloquently. In the Treasurer's Office, we administer escrow accounts, some for CIB, free of charge. Corporate Trust Division of banks in this market provide those services. In this environment, it's 12B1 fees that they used to receive that used to maintain an adequate level of profitability have sort of been much reduced in the last 8 years. So fees are increasing. So we could turn all these escrow accounts loose into the cold and send them to the banks, and the banks would charge $3,000-$4,000 a year fee for administering the escrows. That's why we don't do that, to be strict in saying, well, this can be done by the private sector, but let's disgorge these things that we're doing, because what we are doing is somewhat unique. So my own agency is faced with the same tough question, same issues. One of the difficulties I want to emphasize before we invite any public comment is I don't get a lot of flack from the banks about this. Why? Because we contract with them for trust and escrow services in other situations. So we're competing with them here, but putting money in their pocket there. So they don't get really vigorous coming to me and complaining, and it's obvious why. And so those that are in the private sector providing planning services, they're probably not going to come here and yell and stomp and maybe tell us exactly how they really feel. And I think we need to understand that position that they're in when they come before us, because we approve their projects and we're critical to the funding mechanism. So I just want to point that out. It would be helpful, Jonathan, also to have one of these private sector providers come in and say, yes, here's an example of that collaboration. Here's how the RPG helped with the handoff and made the introduction to us and facilitated, a deeper dive and a depth of planning that where it started with RPG, and as you say, RPG facilitated that handoff to the private sector. It'd be helpful to have someone in the private sector sort of speak to that. So, with that, is there anyone that would like to step forward and provide comment? We'd be happy to hear it. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Yeah. I'm Mike Hansen, and I appreciate you giving us an opportunity to talk about this. Marcus Keller with Zions Public Finance. Sorry, I'm with Rural Community Consultants, and I was formerly the founding first guy in the Rural Plan Group. And I want to challenge some of the thoughts. I have a great deal of concern about what's been discussed in my own personal experience on both sides of this conversation. I got to say that 3 years to try to figure something out means you don't have the right answer. It's you're trying to make a round peg go in a square hole from any organizational standpoint. That's why one of the main reasons why I left. It was ineffective. I couldn't make it work. And the feedback I got was not good from the private sector primarily. Felt like hands were tied because I was government and I am still beholden as a state employee to government. I heard that more than once. The town thought I was there to push UDOT's agenda on them that they just said no to and all this. It was just hard to be in that role. Nobody denies the idea that rural needs help. I'm hooked on it. I love it. I want to do the best I can. And my challenge, I guess, to the board is this the best way to invest your funds into planning, into that solution? The question I always ask in any kind of public sector setting is it better or faster or cheaper than what the private sector can do? And I can argue all day long, if you look at the details of what the ROI is in what you have received in the previous million and a half, it's no on every instance. We tried to figure it out in the first year, and what we said is we'll do three kinds of things. We'll do a town, like a community assessment type thing. We'll do a local project. We'll do a study, and we'll build a tool. And I haven't heard the board really ask how that's been. And I can tell you on the handoff question, not once has that happened. In fact, the opposite has happened. I've had a town with the rural planning group gone out there, did their study, and the mayor took me aside, and he says, I really don't understand what they're doing, but when they're done, will you come do a real project? That's a direct quote, and I won't tell you where it's from. It's a sad thing, because to me, that's CIB investing twice to solve the same problem. This idea of community assessments is, I really struggle with it. The value of it is you don't know what your cost is per piece, so to speak. Private sector can represent all day long what the cost is and what the ROI is and what the value is because they get hired again. I guess with the better, faster, cheaper, the community assessment piece, I also wanted to talk about that just briefly. That is a critical component of any kind of plan you're doing, is to go find out what the questions are. You can't run in and say, here, I got all the answers. You have to really dig deep to find what those questions are, and to have two different groups doing that in the planning world makes no sense. It's having one doctor start and then just kind of walking out and the other one coming in and, finding a watch in there. I'm kidding. But anyway, it really needs to be an integrated process.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Mr. Keller, welcome.
Thank you. So to answer some of the questions and some of the concerns I heard about would the private sector even be willing to approach rural Utah, I can go ahead and tell you that's a guaranteed yes. I work with both Susie and Matt, and I'm sure there's other firms around the state that would love to be involved with Utah, but the hindrance is they already know that there's a free option in place. So why try to market your services at a cost when they can go get it for free? That's counterintuitive, so that's why there's not been any approach to go out to rural Utah or very limited to this point because they can't make any money. Now, you sort of have to ask yourself, you're spending $1.5 million over 3 years to pay for these studies, $500,000 a year, I'm sure could fund multiple firms in multiple different ways in the private sector to cover anything you have to do in rural Utah. Hands down, that's a large sum of money for a studies group, for any group, period. And then, you know, to address comments that Treasurer Damshit had made about, you know, us being upset, it's a very fine line that we walk because, again, we work on with most of you on multiple levels. So we have to really pick and choose our battles on when we become upset and when we stomp our feet, because I guarantee you, if we would allow it, our studies group would be up here in arms with signs and banners. But we don't want to ruin relationships on other different things we're serving you with, and we don't want to put you all in uncomfortable positions. But this is a very big concern to the private sector that it is, in fact, taking money out of our pocket and being spent in a state agency where we feel like in the private sector there's a lot of experience and a lot of strong work that's being performed. So we feel like it could be definitely accomplished in any need, in any study, in any plan through the private sector. We've just never had the opportunity to bid on it, or if we do, we know we're bidding against free service.
By free, sorry, back to Mike. By free, it isn't free. And when I've asked kind of the hard question of, well, what did that study cost, there's not an answer. I don't know. You know my Mayfield project that came up earlier today is $15,000 of CIB. This is a town without a gas station, a stop sign, and they came up with $15,000 because they know they need a plan. They call us, they said they want it. To think that there is so much poverty in rural Utah, maybe there are a few out there, but I tell you, if it's important enough to them, they'll invest in it, and or they'll find a way. And so I wanted to point that out. The other thing, though, is it is hard to compete with free, in at least the perception of it. If you look at the work that the Rural Planning Group has done in just this last year, 0% of it was in producing areas. 0% of it, to my knowledge, had a local match. Now, our experience in the very first project we started with Rural Planning Group, we didn't require a match. We came out for free. You don't really know what we spent, but I guesstimated it was approaching $80,000 of staff time. What happened with that deliverable, because that town did not invest any skin in the game, one of the reasons why it's so expensive is because we couldn't get staff to care about things. And so what happened was we just kept working on it, spin our wheels. At the end of the day, we gave them a great deliverable. It's a great one. I steal language from it all the time. They didn't use it. They came back, asked for funding, and hired somebody else from the private sector to finish it off. It was a ridiculous waste of COD time and money. I don't know. The connection to resources comment is an interesting one. I hate to drop names, but I was called by the Professional Planning Association yesterday. They wanted a little presentation and at the conference coming up. And what they said is, well, we want to know what small towns can do, you know, where they can go to get help. And so I tried to pass it to the Rural Planning Group because, you know, love those guys. And I tried to pass it to them, and they said they already tried. They don't like what they see. They wanted something real. I know that's hard news, but it's not working. And so I would just exhort you to really think about what you're saying. Is it better, faster, and cheaper? Are you getting the ROI you expected? $1.5 million will get you 100 Mayfield general plans. That's half of rural Utah. Are you really getting that with the way you're doing it right now?
If I could just add, too, and again, just to bring up that point of free, it's not, as he said, you're spending $500,000 a year on it. And to address Mr. Zanotti, when he had said that, you know, who do I point them in the direction of when I have a rural community ask me, where can I get help? You know, the other side of this is you could save this money to, you know, have the private sector bid it out so it is competitively bid, so you know for a fact that you're getting the best bang for your buck, and say, you know, CIB stored away this money so that you can always have access to it for these certain things and set it out to bid, show us the lowest bid, and here you go. Not necessarily that it has to be something that's, you know, all-inclusive with CIB through this rural planning group. But
I'll make a comment to that. I chair the Utah Charter School Finance Authority, and we coordinate financings for charter schools that want to issue bonds to purchase their facilities, and we're concerned about the professional level of service that's provided. We issue RFSQs. It's a procurement process of the state, and we vet providers, and we can set fee caps We can set professional qualification requirements, et cetera. And through the RFSQ process, we can determine a pool of who's eligible. And so there could be, and I'm not, all I'm saying is the CIB could say when an inquiry comes, you could be asked that question a year from now. We could say, well, we've done a pool type procurement, and there's five planning firms that we have vetted, and here's the list of five. You know, call anyone you want. We recommend that you do some form of a competitive bid. And that way you can set the bar in terms of the professional level of experience, competence, and service. You can put fee requirements or caps, and you can provide that. It can be done that way, and it can be done differently.
I just want to make a correction that I never advertise for RPG Group, any other group, because my position does not allow to do that. No advertisement of any kind. It's just a matter of that I approached by those questions. I just wanted to know, let you know, the public, that there is a need, either by way of the private consultant, RPG Group, any other agency. They need to know what is available. But I do not say you can approach them or them. Just like Mr. Chairman said, in my own profession as a real estate, we do not just simply say, go get this insurance, this title company, this mortgage company. We have to give them 3 to 5 choices. And they need to choose which one they would like to work with. So, my apology if I didn't state it right.
No. Thank you, Mr. Hansen, Mr. Keller. Are there any other questions from the board? Yes, Commissioner McKee.
Yes, thank you. Mine's really more of a comment, but I want to do this more in the way of an analogy, and I think it has to do with what's appropriate for government to do, what's appropriate for private to do, and I've been contemplating this. I think of most counties' road departments. I think of our own because I know that the best. We have a road department that provides county services. The way that we do that is generally more on the maintenance. We believe that we save funds, we save money, and that there's a public interest in having a county road department. Yet when we do large projects, and it's reflected in state law, if you go over a certain amount of a certain amount, then you bid that out. And I think, you know, one of the things I think we have here a little bit is obviously public and private enterprise. In my own way of thinking, I think there's a role for both. I think planning is as I mentioned earlier, I think it is right at the foundation of what we do. And if we need to develop that out a little bit better so that we have the lines, so that we do that in a way I'm about that, but I do believe there is some value and importance in both sides of that in my own way of thinking.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other members of the board with additional comments or questions? Yes, Mr. Ogden.
I just want to bring up, I used to be in the milk business, and this is kind of the same situation. We used to have to bid on school milk contracts, and the state also provides milk to the prisons. And it was okay when the state was providing milk to the prisons, but when they started providing them to the schools, it got out there a little bit and started competing with the private sector. And we did bring that to their attention. Now, I guess there's two sides of this. I can see the state benefiting to helping their own state entities. And that's what the planning group, I would hope, is doing for us as we get these plans, and we are able to make decisions off of some of the information that they've gathered. But we also need to understand that I'm from the private sector, and I think this is something we need to really consider and look at. I think the group is very beneficial to help us in these decisions, but we need to be making sure that they're not overreaching that, and that the communication does go to the private sector. More private sector, that's what makes our economy work. That's what makes us a healthy, viable nation. So just a thought along that line. I do think that there's places for both, but we just need to be real sensitive to those things.
And
Thank you, Commissioner.
Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Hardin.
And I appreciate this. And we've always recognized this need. And I, as board members, you get a monthly update on what the activities of the Rural Planning Group are, what they're up to. So I feel like there's very large transparency in what we're doing. And we're certainly always looking to refine the process to make sure that we are meeting both needs. And we are committed to continue to do that.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Any other public comment? Mr. Walker?
Enough said.
Not an accident.
Thank you. Mr. Walker said no comment. Effectively. Since it's not on the recording. Thank you. I just, one last comment and then I will. I spent 4 years in the U.S. Coast Guard, 20 years in the banking industry, so you should know my bias. I've been in state government for 8 years. I feel rather strongly that given any task, the private sector will probably do it better, faster, more efficient. I've lived most of my professional life under extreme competitive pressure, extreme cost control pressure, and I try to manage my own agency now in state government with that same spirit and culture. And it's challenging sometimes. So with that, I will call the question. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Was that an aye or a?
Aye opposed.
And for the record, the chair opposes as well. So we have two opposed. And should we take a roll call or how does that work? No. So we have two opposed and all others in favor. Thank you all for your comment. Thank you for the good comments and questions. Yes.
Yes, it is. It is.
I want to make it clear that I am deeply appreciative and respectful of what Mr. Heaton, the entire CIB staff, the Rural Planning Group, Mr. Hardy. We have exceptional, hardworking public servants that we're talking about here. I don't want anyone to feel slighted, and please don't take it personal. These are matters of principle, governance. We just need to be responsible, and I think that we're proving good governance when we have open conversations and we invite open and unlimited, for the most part, public comment. I want to thank everyone for your questions and comments. And with that, how do I hand this over?
Just like that. Thank you, Treasurer Damson. Item number 7 on your agenda, Flaming Gorge Road and Transportation Special Service District. Primarily, this is an administrative item in that the board approved this for 5 years. At 2.5% interest. Unfortunately, the logistics of bonding and such do not work that way, and so there needs to be a change of the term to a total of 15 years with the amount and the interest rate remaining the same. Any questions on the administrative change?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Can we give a couple comments? We have a little more detail.
Anxious, huh? We have a motion. Let's see if there's a second. We have a motion by Commissioner Adams. Is there a second to that?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner McKee. Gentlemen, please.
Okay. Chairman Chad Reed from the Transportation Board. I have our engineer with us, and
Brett Reynolds with CIPCO Engineering, and Eric Johnson, our bond attorney.
Okay, and Eric, I think, has, will you share some information with them as far as why we needed to come back to you?
Sure. These bonds will be backed by mineral lease funds. Now, the district is anticipating down the road getting an infusion of funds that may be able to pay these off early. Until that point, under the state law for mineral lease revenue bonds, the amount of principal and interest payments cannot exceed 80% of last year's mineral lease funds that the district received. And so that's really the test we're trying to fit within. So it needs to go to 15 years, and they have two outstanding bonds that they have about 7 years left on. And so it needs to be a non-level payment the first number of years until those others are paid off in order to hit that 80% test. And so that's what's happening.
I'm sorry. Were you requesting a deferral of payment or just stating?
Non-level. Okay. So the payments will be smaller in the first years until after there's no more payments on those outstanding bonds, and then larger at the back end to meet the statutory test.
Thank you for the clarification, gentlemen. We have a motion and a second to approve, again, extending the term to 15 years from 5. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining?
I have just one question. For the future applications, that 80% rule, do we need to know in advance of some kind of application or comments that if we're going to decide that they will not come the next month or a month after to realize that that did not meet the 80% rule? How do we need to approach as a board, educate ourselves?
Yeah, that rule is always there, and as we got into the bonding process, we started matching that up and realized that at 5 years there was just no way we were ever going to satisfy that rule.
Okay.
I wasn't involved in the application process. Hopefully, most of the time in the application process, that gets looked at.
There will be.
And our original application was 15 years.
I remember that.
But our knowledge of the 80% will be better prepared next time with that too. But probably in the application process, it might be a question in a questionnaire or something to make the new boards or board members aware of that, because we was not until we had Mr. Erickson working for us.
It was a good education for both of us. Thank you.
Yeah.
And at the time of the application, I think we were in good shape. What has happened is our mineral lease funds have gone dramatically down, and that's what has also compounded the problem. Is we were back a year ago or so when the application was made, everything probably would have been okay.
Okay.
But now when we're actually getting ready to close the bond, then we're looking at a different fiscal year, different amount of mineral lease funds.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Commissioner Winterton, would you like to speak to the annual policy retreat on June 1st and 2nd?
Well, we're excited to host the board there in June, and we'll be holding it in our new event center that's on our fairgrounds that the CIB helped fund, and we're planning out a good time for you, and hope everybody makes an effort to come and spend the two evenings there, and we'll be getting out some of the details as we get closer.
Chairman, I have a request. Well, this is serious. This is a very serious request. You know, Commissioner Adams set a standard last year. At the event being hosted down in San Juan County.
In his backyard.
And I think Commissioner Winterton, at minimum, ought to be singing and be practicing.
Or dancing. We'll take dancing.
Well, that's just a request.
I don't know if you've heard him sing.
Thank you. No, but I know McKee does sing.
Good.
Well, forget about the singing. What about the Angus beef? That's the criteria.
We can do an outdoor barbecue or a meal outside like that. We probably will host that at the Starvation State Park.
Nice.
Do I have to buy a pair of cowboy boots for this?
Yes. You can borrow Candace mine. Wants to know if we're going to ride horses.
I'm going to bring mine.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Wow.
We could arrange something like that.
Well, this is getting better by the moment. Continue.
We hadn't considered that kind of adventure, but we could do that.
I did break my leg last summer, but I'll still bring it.
Bring
a different horse.
Okay.
Calf roping. Thank you, Commissioner Winterton.
How about mutton wrestling?
How about mutton busting?
Mutton busting for busting. Naughty.
We're looking forward to
all right.
to being in Duchesne County. That should be good. Thank you very much. As Candace mentioned in her briefing, generally the third trimester is slow. Given our status of our finances, it's not really a surprise that we only received 13 applications for the next trimester, although that is a little bit lower than normal. As such, staff is recommending that we only hold one meeting plus a Funday meeting. And proposing April 4th for our next meeting. That's the regular first Thursday in April here at the DEQ building. So that will be our meeting.
Spread that around.
We did.
County.
We did. Yeah, we did used to do that.
No March meeting, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know whether they want to do that.
No, I
spread
just,
around a little bit.
By April, it's not as necessary. Today would have sure been nice. I understand there's 60 and sunny. Is that correct, Mr. Zanotti?
Yeah.
Yes,
it is.
April
4th.
Blue
sky.
April 4th, yeah.
Tuesday.
No, really?
Did I not look at my calendar?
April 6th, I think.
Mr. Chairman, no March meeting. Is that the...
That is correct. Let me confirm that date.
You can
oh, maybe
that
I was...
One if you, March.
If you have a sunshine.
It could be condensed into...
You're right. That's the 4th.
Okay.
That's May.
Okay.
Is
that cool? Yeah, that's all right.
April, the first Thursday in April still?
Yeah.
April 6th.
That's the
6th.
Thank you. Sorry.
So no
April
March.
6th.
No March meeting.
No March meeting, right?
Do you want to vote?
Nope. That's the next meeting.
Okay. April
6th. And any further board discussion items?
Can we have a March meeting?
You may have a March meeting. Absolutely. You'll be lonely, but you may have one.
Click and delete.
Okay. Motion to adjourn?
I move.
Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, one and all.